Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and back to another example of Robin Sue Farm audio fanfic. If this happens to be the first one you've come across, I have been reading my fanfic just to be another format for people to experience it. And it, as always, focuses on Guiding Light, especially on Manny, Michelle Bauer Santos, and Danny Santos. Today is the last chapter in Bauer Barbecue 2014, and I want to let you know that while this one is very short and focused on Manny, I mean the fanfic as a whole, it's only four rather short chapters, I've done another one that's longer and involves more characters for 2017 and 2018, and with any luck, I'm going to get one done for 2019. We'll have to see how it goes. And in the meantime, here is today's Bauer Barbecue 2014 by Robin Sue Farm, Chapter 4. Author's note. In the last chapter, I hope you had a great time at Bauer Barbecue 2014 and enjoyed seeing everyone. It took me way past the end of July to finish this fanfic, which just tells you it's time to get started on yours for next year now. Tell me what you think Bauer Barbecue 2017 will be like and share. I also should mention that I have a thing about people not doing the bridal march properly. If anything looks ungainly, it's just stomping down the aisle like you were walking anywhere else. So I spell out the proper steps within this fanfic because it bugs me. Bauer Barbecue 2014 by Robin Sue Farm, Chapter 4. The crowd slowly shifted from the Bauer patio through the hedge to the Spalding backyard. Rick led the way over the flat part of the lawn. It had rented folding chairs set up in two groups with a white carpet runner up the middle between the two groups. The chairs were all faced in one direction, facing the white wood trellis covered with red roses. A small string ensemble softly began playing background music. The guests gradually settled down, and even the whispers trailed off as the music picked up in volume and intensity. A side door opened in the Spalding mansion, and a group of men emerged. Most of them were wearing tuxedos. Ray led the group wearing his clerical robes. Behind him came Frank Cooper, Philip Spalding, Rick Bauer, and Robbie Santos. They filed past slowly, taking their places in a line in front of the arbor. Again, the music hit a chord, and the French doors opened again, and this time, Danny Santos came walking out to take his place beside his son and best man, Robbie. He just couldn't quit smiling. He grinned back down at his son, who was bursting with pride at his special role as best man. Danny resisted rumpling his hair because Robbie was trying so hard to act grown up. He looked up over Robbie's head at his friends, who he now considered his brother, and he was happy to say the affection and connection was now returned. Beyond him was Philip Spalding. There had always been a sort of respect and connection between the two men, and Philip and Danny's relationship had grown over the years. After they had returned to town and Danny accepted the job at Spalding Enterprises, they had grown quite close. He and Michelle had been included in the Four Musketeers' social sphere since their return, and while he once never would have believed it, he felt a part of that group. The last one of his groomsmen was Frank Cooper, who had long been one of his best friends. Danny did turn away and suddenly smirk at the thought of how lost he'd gotten during Michelle's amnesia. How could he have betrayed his good friend like that? Reaching out to Frank's daughter in his desperate search for normalcy, he wouldn't have blamed Frank if he'd never forgiven him, and he thanked God that he had. Danny was distracted by the flash of color when Michelle's cousin Bridget moved from her position at the table with the reception book to her seat beside her husband, Dylan Lewis. Danny's eyes locked on the far edge far side of the white carpet runner. He heard his daughter giggling behind the hedge. The string quartet struck up playing Too Busy Being in Love, and Chelsea Reardon, Michelle's aunt, began to sing. If I had taken the time to write down a few lines every time that you crossed this heart of mine, put them all in a book, how much time would that have took? But words and years have a way of slipping by. Oh no, too bad. There goes the chance that I had. I could have written a play so sweet and so funny, given old Mr. Shakespeare a run for his money, written the words to the prettiest tune that would never leave a dry eye in the room. My only excuse for not doing enough, well, I was too busy being in love. Yes, I was too busy being in love. Brand new faces appear every time you are near, all these words you inspire after all these years. But I never reach for a pen, break the mood that I'm in. Before I know it, the words are gone again. Oh no, too bad, there goes the chance that I had. I could have written a play so sweet and so funny, given old Mr. Shakespeare a run for his money, written the words to the prettiest tune that would never leave a dry eye in the room. My only excuse for not doing enough, well, I was too busy being in love. Yes, I was too busy being in love. I could have written a poem to make young lovers crazy. I could have written a movie for Hepburn and Tracy. The most beautiful song, and it starts with your name, written my way into fortune and fame. But I have no regrets for not doing it now. Well, I was too busy being in love. Yes, I was too busy being in love. As the words to the song ended and began again, second time through as an instrumental, Hope appeared and took her time centering herself on the white carpet. She paused and giggled again. Danny wasn't sure if it was because she was so happy or because his little drama queen wanted to make sure all attention was on her before she started down the aisle. She took a breath, grinned, and started down the aisle, taking long struts in the proper bridal march. Right step together, left step together, right step. As she went, she sprinkled pink rose petals along the aisle in her fluffy light pink dress. She arrived at the end of the aisle and stepped over to the far side next to the groomsman. Next down the aisle, dressed in a matching dress, only in a dusky rose, came Beth. Step right together, left step together, right step. Beth also carried a short, dark-haired beauty, the latest pride of their love, Danielle. Danielle was the other flower girl, but had proven definitely at the rehearsal that she couldn't be trusted walking down the aisle either alone or with her big sister. Beth was about halfway down the aisle when the next lady in pink appeared around the hedge. It was Drew, maid of honor from their church wedding at Casa Santos. They hadn't really been close before that, but they had grown close over the next few years and had kept in touch even after she moved to New York and they had moved to California. Drew was beaming and had a calm contentment she had never shown before, having finally made peace with her marriage, the lies and hurts of her childhood, and made her faith a strong tenet of her life. Beth had reached the altar and moved to her place at the far end. When Drew hit the middle point of the aisle, the final bridesmaid, Michelle's stepsister, Blake, took her turn to walk down the aisle. When Blake hit the assigned point, Mindy, Michelle's sister-in-law and matron of honor, started down the aisle in her matching dress. Mindy followed down the aisle and moved into her matron of honor position and put Danny down and held her hand. Danny showed she could be just as much a center of attention as her big sister as she wore her matching a light pink dress. She smiled at the audience, did her best expression that she always used on her daddy when she wanted him to give her something, and then she stuck her hand down and grabbed the hem of her skirt and yanked it up, revealing her special lace lollies as the audience broke into general laughter. Accepting she'd had her due, Danny dropped her hand and fastened her eyes on where she remembered her mommy reappearing last night at the rehearsal. The music changed and began the bridal march again. And just like that, Michelle stepped into the center of the white runner. The white fluffy dress focused on its sweetheart neckline and made a shawl collar and a flowing skirt that ended mid-calf. A narrow pink sash encircled Michelle's waist and tied behind. Around her neck was a gold chain, three charms hung from it, a locket with Maureen's photo inside, a third grade spelling bee winning charm, and a charm shaped like the house they had finally built at Laura Falls. Michelle's hair had been twisted into an updo and was covered by a mantilla. It was the one from their church wedding, and while their feelings of that event were twisted by his family's involvement, the service had still meant a lot to both of them. After all, it was that ceremony that kept them bound to each other through all eternity in the eyes of the church. During the annulment separation, it had been the one piece of Michelle's clothing that Danny had kept. They felt it was an important tie to a part of their past. It had been hard on Danny and Michelle both to spend the night before the wedding apart. They had always hated to spend the night apart, even before their fake marriage had turned real. It was worse now that they were used to cuddling and more every night in their California king-sized bed. Their eyes met across the garden, and then Michelle's face broke like the sun in their secret smile. Bill Lewis stepped up beside her, and she came down the aisle on his arm. Michelle and Danny were so focused on each other that everyone else faded into the background. Danny took Michelle by the hand, and they kneeled beside each other, facing Ray in his role as their priest. They vaguely heard Ray say, "Who gives this woman in marriage?" And Bill answered, "On behalf of her parents and myself, I do." They both missed it, but Bill winked at them as he said the myself part. Ray started. "We are here today to celebrate the renewed marriage, Berta Michelle Bauer Santos." He bestowed on the crowd a welcoming smile. "Michelle and Danny have had a little trouble getting this right." Another smile met with a chuckle from the audience. "This is the seventh time they have come together before God and dedicated their lives, their hearts, and their sacred honor to each other. While they separated on several occasions, they have always honored their vows. During the original pre-Cana, Danny and Michelle discovered just how closely their desires were for the same type of marriage, the same type of life. And while they faced many challenges, they have created that life for themselves and their children. As one, Danny and Michelle turned to look at their children in turn, to Robbie, who was standing beside his father as his best man, to Hope and then Danny, who were serving as flower girls. Their children beamed back at them. Danny and Michelle have written their own vows. Michelle handed Mindy her bouquet. They stood and faced each other. Danny cleared his throat. "Michelle, I know we took the scenic route to get where we are." More laughter from the audience, and he waited until it ebbed before he continued. "We both had a lot to learn to get this far. This is our life, our family, and we need to be willing to fight for it to be what we want. I mean, you look innocent and beautiful and soft and pink, but underneath you're like steel. I always knew you had that in you. It's one of the reasons I fell in love with you. You never really gave up on me deep down, and so you never really let me give up on myself, not quite all the way. And we made it, baby. I look around now, and I can't believe what we've built together. I knew I was lying to you that day in the park, by the park bench, when I told you I could never be happy in your life, but I had no idea just how wonderful it could be. Thank you, my beautiful wife, for all eternity." Michelle replied, "Danny, a few years ago, I was talking to Mara, and when I got home, I wrote down what I said and kept it because I was so right. I've taken it out to read while times were difficult, and I want to share it with you now." She looked up at Danny as her hand slightly shook. She smiled. "Remember, I dropped my vows on our first wedding day. I'll try to do better today. Looking back, I wouldn't do a thing differently because you're worth it. It's like we're on some kind of journey. Sometimes you lose direction, sometimes it's me, but we're supposed to be traveling together. I know that in my bones. Sometimes that's the only thing I do know, but I am sure. So wherever we end up together, I know that's where I want to be. Thank you, my handsome husband, for all eternity." They stood, and Michelle turned to the audience, letting go of one of Danny's hands and turning him with her. "And I wanted to also thank all of you for being part of our special day. This is the third time we've recited vows on July 4th. Been there for all three times." She paused, turning to smile back at him before continuing. "The first time We said our vows on this day. We skipped the Bauer barbecue to do it. But the other two times we've been here, and that's better. The Bauer barbecue is very special for our family. The tradition of making Independence Day, marking Independence Day as an important occasion, dates back to my great-grandfather, Papa Bauer. He and Mama Bauer were immigrants and truly appreciated the gift that was the United States. The party got a little bigger under my Grandma Bert, whose apple pie recipe I always make for this day. Finally, my parents, Ed and Maureen, turned it into the celebration it is today, a celebration of family, friends, and the Springfield community, a place where everyone is welcome. Old connections are refreshed, and where we celebrate the spirit of this country. A lot of you who knew me then questioned my choice when I wed Danny for the first time, but you were wrong. It scared me so much, I was afraid to admit it. But the first time I looked into Danny's eyes, I saw my soul, his soul, as one, and that's what I still see. I also see so much love, and that's a love we share with all of you. I recently read a quote that made me think about Grandma Bert's apple pies. Love is not a single pie, P-I-E. Hand out your 8 slices and you're done. Love is pie, P-I, irrational and never-ending. Thank you for being here today to help celebrate our irrational, never-ending love. Michelle turned back to Danny, reclasped his hand, and they shared their secret smile. Danny whispered, "That's perfect. You're perfect." Ray cleared his throat, bringing attention back to him, and said, "The ceremony of marriage in which you are come to be united is one of the first and oldest ceremonies in the whole in the entire world, celebrated in the beginning in the presence of God himself. Marriage is a gift given to comfort the sorrows of life and to magnify life's joy. Marriage is the clasping of hands, the blending of two hearts, the union of two lives into one, and your marriage must stand, not by the authority of the state, nor by the seal on your wedding certificate, but by the strength and power of the faith and love you have in one another. Repeat after me." Danny grinned. "I think we got this." He grinned at Michelle. She had handed her bouquet to Mindy, and then she clasped both of Danny's hands. Danny looked deep into her eyes and vowed, "I, Danny, take you, Michelle, to be my lawfully wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish from this day forward, as long as we both shall live." Danny never looked happier when he said, "I do." Looking just as serious, Michelle vowed in turn, "I, Michelle, take you, Danny, to be my lawfully wedded husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish from this day forward until death do us part." Ray responded, "Michelle, do you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband, forsaking all others, being faithful to him as long as you both shall live?" Michelle replied, "I do." Ray continued, "Having this kind of love in your hearts for one another, you have chosen to exchange rings as a sign and seal of the promises you are making to one another today. Rings are very large in their significance. They are made of precious metal and precious stone, and that reminds us that love is not cheap nor common. But indeed, love is very costly and dear to us. These rings were also made in a circle, and their design tells us that we must keep love continuous throughout our whole lives, even as the circle of the ring is continuous. As you wear these rings, whether you are together or apart, for even just a moment, may these rings be a constant reminder of the promises you are making to one another today. Danny, will you please take this ring and place it upon the finger of Michelle's left hand, and holding her hand in yours, please repeat this promise to her, saying after me, 'With this ring, I seal my promise to be your faithful and loving husband, as God is my witness.'" Danny repeated, "With this ring, I seal my promise to be your faithful and loving husband, as God is my witness." Ray looked at Michelle.
Michelle, will you please take this ring and place it upon the finger of Danny's left hand? Holding his hand in yours, please repeat this promise to him, saying after me, with this ring, I seal my promise to be your faithful and loving wife, as God is my witness. Michelle repeated, with this ring, I seal my promise to be your faithful and loving wife, as God is my witness. Michelle and Danny, you have come here today before us and before God and have expressed your desire to become husband and wife. You have shown your love and affection by joining hands and have made promises of faith and devotion, each to the other, and have sealed these promises by giving and receiving of the rings. Therefore, it is my privilege as minister and by the authority given to me by the state of Illinois, I now pronounce that you are husband and wife. Danny, you may kiss your bride. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my privilege to introduce you once again, Senor and Senora Santos. Michelle let out a little shriek as Danny suddenly swept her off her feet. With one arm under her knees and the other around her waist, he spun around to face the audience, and as Michelle's arms automatically came around Danny's neck, he kissed her soundly. Author's note. I said at the beginning that I was withholding my initial author's note, and now you can see why. Danny and Michelle were getting ready to renew their vows at the Bauer Barbecue 2014. Danny spent the night at the Bauer House to honor the tradition of not seeing the bride before the wedding. Michelle, I'm sure, noted that they also got him out of working at the barbecue, and Danny responded it meant he had to make sure everything at the wedding was ready. The special thing Danny carried in first, or I'm sorry, the special thing Robbie carried in first. Michelle went in from the barbecue to get ready for the wedding. Michelle and Danny are finally living in their Laurel Falls house because we've all agreed not to mention or think about Tattoo Tony ever again. So it isn't strange for them. The kids are going to spend the night at the Bauer barbecue, or I'm sorry, at the Bauer house to watch the fireworks with Rick and Mindy. So Danny and Michelle can head out to the Springfield Inn to make some fireworks of their own. And I think then they will finally go to Majorca, but they'll take the kids. I put in dialogue from several key Manny scenes and referenced several others. I hope you enjoy it. And that's what I think happened at Bauer Barbecue 2014. If you want to imagine what happened during the Bauer Barbecue this year, start writing now. I got the pie quote off of Facebook. Wasn't that perfect? I took the wedding vows out off of a website called Lake Tahoe Weddings. The words are Too Busy in Love was sung by Doug Stone. I love his stuff. So with that, I am rounding up Bauer Barbecue 2014, and I hope you stop back to check in on our next story. Thanks.